Let's turn to the scriptures from Joshua, Joshua chapter 1. And then we will turn to the New Testament as well, in Matthew 28. So Joshua 1, the first 9 verses. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place the sole of your foot shall tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates. All the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of a good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wheresoever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of a good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Let's turn now to the Gospel according to Matthew, the last chapter, 28. And I want to read from verse 16 to the end. Matthew 28, beginning at verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake to them, saying, All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, I once read an illustration and thought it was a bit unreflective of the great truths that we are considering this morning. And yet, having experienced it several times in our own life, it is a relevant, perhaps, illustration. Those of us who have children, you'll be able to relate to this, and the children here too, probably. When our children were maybe 4 or 5 even, they each had their own little blanket that they found great comfort from. They couldn't do without their blankie, as it was called, when they went to sleep at night. It helped them. It gave them comfort and peace. Well, one evening we had been out late and they had fallen asleep in the car, and I took them from the car seat and brought them downstairs to their bedroom, and they stayed asleep, and I couldn't find the blankie. I'm looking around, and I said, well, they're sleeping anyway, so I'll just let it be. Went to bed about 2:30 in the morning. Our son is standing right beside me in my bed, rubbing me. Dad, where's my blankie? You go with your son, you go downstairs, you find the blanket, turn on the light, and sure enough, it's there hidden away. They curl up with the blanket and they fall asleep. Here's a simple illustration of how we find comfort in sometimes very insignificant things. But I want this morning to consider a comfort that far outshadows, doesn't even begin to compare to the comfort that ought to be ours if we acknowledge that the Lord Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. And I want to do this from the words we have read together and just this little phrase and consider its context and some of the other scriptures that relate to it. But at the end of Jesus' teaching to his disciples as he's ready to ascend into heaven and he's ready to disappear from their sight, as it were, he is giving them this great command to go to the ends of the earth. And then at the end, the very end, the closing statement of it all, he wants us to really pay attention here. Behold, lo, I'm telling this to you of a certainty. These words, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Now I want to look at this with the theme of Christ with us always. There's going to be three thoughts this morning. First of all, I want to see this as a precious truth. It's a precious truth that extends throughout the whole of the scriptures and accompanies us even today. That brings us to the second thought. It's a personal encouragement for us now and going forward. And then third, I want to look at a few practical observations as well. So, Christ with us always, precious truth, personal encouragement, practical application or observations. This truth, dear friends, is a truth that has buoyed up believers in all ages. It has helped them through their tribulations and through their times of joy and in their times of trial. Perhaps there is no greater reality that can bring us comfort than this. In face of every opposition, in face of every difficulty, in face of all the news of cancer or troubles or conflict or whatever's happening in our life and in this world, there's no greater comfort than to hear the Almighty God, the Everlasting Father, and Jesus Christ, His Son, is with us. He's with us. And as I said, this is not something that is new for the disciples, and it's something that's new for us. It's something that's been true since the beginning. Even though we have fallen into sin, and Adam, our father, and Eve have fallen into sin and have destroyed this, I am with you, yet even there we find Jesus, the Lord Himself, comes walking in the cool of the day with them. I think back to the first book of the Bible in Genesis 26. There you have this trouble that's occurring in the life of one of the fathers of Isaac, and his herdmen are striving over the wells. And finally they dig another well, and that third well is Rehoboth. And he rose up from thence, and God appeared to him in the same night. And he said to him, I am the God of Abraham thy father. Do not fear. Why? For I am with you. All this conflict, all this trouble, finally finding water for his herd and his herdmen, and God comes and says, I am with you. Jacob, his son, just deceived his father, fleeing away from his father, comes to the mountain and he finds a place to lay his head on a rock and a pillow, and he dreams of this ladder up to heaven. And God speaks to this man who's running away because he's deceived his father. And God says to him, I am the God of Abraham. And one of the things he says as well is, I am with thee. Children, you think of Joseph, far away in that prison, sold by his own brothers. We read repeatedly, when he's in Potiphar's house, when he's in the prison, God was with him. And of course, we read as well, when the children of Israel, all the sons and daughters of the 12 sons of Jacob, as they are multiplying in Egypt and they are brought into slavery, God was with them. He heard their cries. He sends them Moses, the deliverer. And to Moses, God also promises when he calls him, he says, I will be with you. He leaves his flocks. He goes to Egypt to bring out the people of God into the promised land. And even there, as he's bringing out the people and they enter the wilderness and the people rebel against Moses and against God, what is it, the one thing that Moses craves the most? God's presence. If your presence don't go with us, do not carry us up. You see, Moses is a man of God. His one desire and craving was the nearness and presence of God. This was life. This was everything. Is that what you need? What you desire? What you crave, long for, more than anything else? To Moses, to have God's presence meant they were the recipients of this marvelous grace of God. And so Moses asks in that context there in the wilderness with his people, he asks, wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? How will it be known? How will it be seen that we have thy grace? And he answers the question himself. Isn't it that you are going with us? And then he adds this, as a result of this presence of God with them, there would be a life of thankfulness. And so he says, so we shall be separated, I and thy people, from all the people on the face of the earth. It wasn't a separation of some kind of hermit holding themselves up and thinking they were better than everyone else. No, it was, we will gather together as the church, as the people of God, in demonstration of gratitude to Him who has called us out of this darkness and set us free. That's how we ought to live also today. If God's presence, as we come to the end of the sermon eventually, as we sense and believe and revel in this reality that His presence is with us, how it ought to transform our lives. And we ought to live in gratitude to Him for this great truth. Moses takes the children of Israel, brings them to the edge of the promised land. And then I read this morning from Joshua. And God is saying the same things He said to Moses. Joshua is somewhat timid. How is he going to lead this great people? How is it going to be like taking the place of Moses? But he doesn't need to be afraid. God says, I will be with you. I will not forsake you. I will not fail you. And then in verse 9 he says, haven't I commanded you? Be strong and of a good courage. Don't be afraid or dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. King David, he encourages his son as he's speaking in 1 Chronicles 28 about this temple that he was to build. And he says, be strong and of a good courage and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with you. He will not fail you nor forsake you. Children, who was it, as we get to the latter part of the Old Testament and the prophets. And we get to Daniel. Who was with Daniel as he's there thrown in the lion's den? Who's with him? The Lord. Who's with Daniel's three friends when the strong men take them up and throw them in the furnace? Who's with them? The one appearance of the Son of God was with them. And even when the children of Israel, as a people, we read, they depart from God. They're taken into captivity. And we would say, well, God has left them alone and sent them out. No, He's still with them. He wants them to learn through this experience to have no other God, to depend on Him alone. And so He says through the prophet Isaiah 43, "Now thus says the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and He that formed thee, O Israel, do not be afraid, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by name. You are mine. And when you pass through the water, I will be with you." In Haggai we read, "Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, in the Lord's message to the people, and said, I am with you, says the Lord." And even when the prophets were fearful of bringing the tiding of judgment upon the people of God for their sin, for example, in Jeremiah, we read, "Do not say, I am a child. For you shall go to all that I will send thee, and whatever I command you to speak, you will speak. Don't be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord." Everywhere in the Old Testament, God was with His people. And that brings us then to our passage this morning and these parting words of our Lord Jesus Christ with His disciples. They had been given a great commission. They had been told many things of what Jesus was now going to do. He was going to ascend into heaven. He was going to send forth His Spirit and all these things. And He wanted to assure them of His presence still, even though they wouldn't see Him face to face. And He wants them to have the assurance of this comfort. So He said to them earlier, as we read in the Gospel according to John, he told His disciples, "It's needful that I go away. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." Was Jesus saying to His disciples, you need to be saved, you need to be converted? They hadn't believed in Him? No. What was He saying? I think what He's saying there in the context of that chapter, He's saying, you believe in God who you cannot see. I'm going to go away from you. I'm going to go preparing mansions for you. When I go away and you can't see me anymore either, don't stop believing. And when He leaves them here after His resurrection, I am with you always, even till the end of the age. Even until you see me again on the clouds of judgment and glory. If you look at these words at the end of Matthew 28, look at these words here as Jesus is speaking to His disciples. It's very clear. He says, "Lo, I am with you." It's not a possibility. I might be with you. I'll be there in the tough times. No, Jesus is saying, "I am with you." There's no question that needs to be entertained about this reality. And it's surrounded with the all glorious words that He's speaking, these parting words, the grand alls. There's four of them. Jesus is saying, first of all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. He is the risen Lord. every power and authority has been commissioned to him and given in his hand. He's ascending to glory. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. All authority is given to me in heaven and earth. Now tie that in to the reality. He's with us. What does that mean? There is no event, no circumstance, nothing, even down to the hairs of our head, that he is not in sovereign control. All authority in heaven and earth is given to me. So, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. Every nation. The church, the disciples, and by extrapolation, as it's said here, we are all included in this. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. Not a nation is to be exempt. Not a people is to be passed over. The word of God is to be proclaimed to all, not just Jews, not just Romans, but the heathens and everywhere across the face of this world. Teaching them to observe all things. Everything Jesus taught his disciples, they were to teach fellow believers that had come to the Lord, who were then to teach others who come to the Lord, who were to teach others, who are to teach us, and we're to teach those who come in to know the Lord in our day. All things. Even this. The last all. And lo, pay attention particularly. I am with you always. Every day. Day in, day out. In the night. Every period of time. In joy, in sorrow. In days of pain and rejoicing. In days of fear and days of boldness. In days when you experience power in the Spirit. In days when you feel you're powerless against temptation. I am with you always. That's what Jesus is saying. There's no place in the earth or in the heavens. But to us, no place in the earth. Whether you get into a plane and you go several thousand feet above the surface of the earth, or you get on a boat and you're in the middle of the ocean, there's no land within sight. Whether you get into your car, whether you get onto the bus, or you go down into your basement, wherever you are, I am there. I am with you. Always. And Jesus just isn't like we might sometimes casually treat the big words we teach our children at home and in catechism. Children, you might have heard of the word omnipresence. It means God is everywhere present. We know omnipresence means God is everywhere present, but let it sink into your heart. The reality of this truth. I, the living God in Jesus Christ, am with you. What this means is we have his presence, his nearness, the comfort of our Lord and Savior near at hand. It means as well he has sent his Spirit to dwell within us. Imagine how, if we understood this more, if we believed this more, if we lived this more, would it transform our words and our actions? Are you weak and wounded and cast down and find difficulties in your path, your journey? Burdened with anxious care, Jesus says, I am with you. He's not with the proud and disobedient. He is with the brokenhearted, those cast down, meek and lowly. I am with you. For ourselves, there's no strength for the day often. There's no courage in ourselves to go forward and face perhaps the challenges that are before us. Wake up in the morning and it's a new day. What do we face? But with this truth, we have every reason to get out of our beds with comfort, with joy, with hope, with courage, with strength. Now, the unbeliever doesn't know this. The one who hasn't come to faith in Jesus Christ doesn't understand this. He's going forward into life and into each day with uncertainty, with trepidation perhaps, or a vain confidence of sorts. It's only the believer who can know with certainty and with comfort this glorious truth. Maybe you say, well, yeah, that's all good. I believe this to be true, that the Lord is with His people and His church. But what about me? Well, that's our second thought, a personal encouragement. You may ask the question, how do I know that this relates to me, is for me? Maybe others might say this morning as well, that may be true for some of the children and people of God, but I feel forsaken. I feel like God is distant. He doesn't seem to be with me. I wonder what our Lord would say to us. If I feel that way, I need to rebuke myself and hear Jesus' words. Oh, faithless and perverse generation, how long will I be with you? How long will I suffer you? And He's walking also with these travelers to Emmaus, and they're pouring out their heart about their love to the Lord. We had thought it was He who would deliver Israel. And then He has to say, oh, fools! And slow of heart to believe all that the Scriptures have taught concerning Himself. And we've, in our first point, walked through all that the Scriptures have said about His being with His people. And are we still so slow to understand, to grasp, to believe? Also this parting promise. Imagine yourselves a moment, the disciples, 12 plus the 500 that maybe were gathered there. Hundreds of thousands of people still living in the world in remote parts. And Jesus says, go to all the nations of the earth and teach them all things that I have taught you. Fishermen, farmers, don't have great abilities of speech, perhaps very little learning, and they wonder, how will we ever accomplish that? Well, not only, as Jesus said, all authority is given to me, but He said, and I will be with you. And what I want you to do is with each one that you bring my word and gospel to, and they come to acknowledge me as Lord and Savior, you tell them, I'm with them as well. It's as if Jesus is standing as His own presence even today. I, He says, I am with you. That's what we read in our catechism. That He's still among us with His Godhead, His majesty, His grace, His Spirit. He is at no time absent from us. At no moment is He absent from us. The author to the Hebrews makes this abundantly clear. He says in Hebrews 13:5, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." I think of the Apostle Paul. He experienced this to be true. He says, "When no man stood by me and all seemed to forsake me, then the Lord stood by him and upheld him." Whether he saw Christ at that moment, I'm not quite certain. I rather think that perhaps with his word and with his promises, he surrounded the Apostle Paul. Even when every man seemed to forsake him, the Lord encouraged him in his heart and in his mind and his soul and his spirit. "I am with you, don't be afraid." God said to him in Acts 18, verse 10, "For I am with thee, and no man can set on thee to hurt thee." And so just as certain as the Lord was with his saints in the Old Testament and his servants there, it's true he is with his apostles and disciples in the New Testament and the church till this very day. Jesus says, even to the end of the age, the end of all things, the end of the world. And we don't only have the saints of Scripture to show this to be true, but there's abundant history of the testimony of the saints. I think, for example, of John Patton, a great missionary in the 19th century. His wife and infant son had died shortly after he came to the island of Tenna, and later he was forced to leave or perish in 4 years afterward. And the only thing he could take with him was his Bible and a few other possessions. And during this time, he wrote, "Trials and hairbreadth escapes only strengthened my faith and nerved me for more to follow. And they trod swiftly upon each other's heels. Without that abiding consciousness of the presence and power of my Lord and Savior, nothing in the world could have preserved me from losing my reason and perishing miserably." His words, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end," became to me so real it would not have startled me to behold him as Stephen did, gazing down upon the scene. It is the sober truth that I had my nearest and most intimate glimpses of the presence of my Lord in those dread moments when musket, club, or spear was leveled at my life. If you go to Australia and you go to a graveyard there and you see the tombstone of Patton, the words inscribed are, "Lo, I am with you always." David Livingston, another man of God laboring for many years in Africa, bringing the gospel there at the risk of his own life, he was one day invited back to Edinburgh to receive an honorary degree. You can well imagine the students there. Normally, when people are brought in to get honorary degrees, there's somewhat of a sneering and a not so complimentary attitude. But when Livingston crossed the stage to receive his degree, the student stood in silence. And he spoke, one arm hanging at his side, limp from a lion attack, his skin tanned like leather. He said, "Shall I tell you what supported me through all these years of exile among a people whose language I could not understand and whose attitude toward me was always uncertain and often hostile? It was this, 'Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world.'" But you don't need to be an eminent saint, an eminent missionary, a disciple of Christ in the New Testament, an apostle. Every follower of our Lord every child of the King. The most humble of believers in their day-to-day walk and experience as they cry out to God, the living God, can know and be assured of this truth. I am with you. In the times of your deepest trial, your struggle, your temptation, was it not His presence that goes before you, that underneath you are the everlasting arms that carry you? This removes the burdens from off our back. This gives sight to the eyes which are seeing things which are only here and now. If you have to deal with the terminal disease of cancer or some other disease, and you're faced with the loss of a loved one, even of a child, when you're dealing with those who've erred from the truth and gone astray, and they're traveling to eternity without Christ and to hell, how do we respond? Do we despair? Do we fear without measure, or do we come to the place where we say, God, you have said you would be with me. And the greatest rest we can know is when we hear His voice and say, lo, I am with you always. He will uphold you. He will guide you. And not one of His shall perish from His hand. This is a personal encouragement. Of course, this encouragement is not simply words printed on a page. You can't see this. You can't receive the comfort of this without, by faith, resting on this word. Believing this word, appropriating this truth. This promise isn't only for Old Testament saints. It's only for those eminent saints, perhaps, that we think are so far advanced than we are. No, this promise is to every believer of every age till our Lord's return again. It's this truth. Can a woman forget her sucking child? That's an individual child. It's not all the children that we're talking about. This child, you as His child, can He forget you? That's the question. Yea, they may forget, but God says, I will not. In essence, He's saying, I will be with you. God will not. Let me say it more strongly. It's impossible for God to be absent from every one of His children. Now, the consciousness of that, from our perspective, can be lost. We may not see it as we would or should, but that consciousness may not be there, and we may not have the comfort of it, but it doesn't change the reality of it. Oh, this passage from Jeremiah 31, every time I read this, it is Ephraim, my dear son, is he a pleasant child? For since I spake against him, I do earnestly remember him still. Therefore, my bowels are troubled for him. I will surely have mercy on him, says the Lord. Even when we sin against God, and He, as a good parent, a good father, refrains himself, hides himself, disciplines us, He is saying, my bowel, yearn for the return of my son, my daughter, that they would know, that they would experience, I am with you. How could you think? How could you live a day without living in the light of this truth? The living God is with you. He surrounds you on every side. Let me ask you a question. When you first came to faith in Jesus Christ, when you received Him, and He was Lord and Savior of your life, why did He come? Why was His presence with you then? Were you someone different than all the rest of the world? Were you better than other people around you, so God decided to be near you? Not at all. You were no better than this world, than sinners. But He set His love upon you. And He doesn't change. And when He says, "My presence is with you," His presence is with you. We can say that having loved them, He will love them to the end. He will never take His presence from them. And even if your parents forsake you, God says He will take you up. If anyone leaves you, if we have Christ in His presence with us, that is joy. That is peace. Oh, it's true. It's true. We don't always feel this. We don't always experience the reality of this consciously. At times it may feel in our hearts we're cold, we're lifeless, we're dead in a sense to God. But it remains true. I am with you. And this brings us to the last thought, some practical observations. It's very true that our Lord indeed is ascended into heaven. He's seated at the right hand of God. He is making intercession for us. He has our flesh there at the right hand of God. All these things are true about His ascension. But perhaps one of the glorious, greatest benefits of this truth is that more practically, Christ is with us day in and day out. There is not a moment, not a second of the day where His presence is not with us. How often don't we forget Him? We get busy. I understand. He's not calling us to be so busy with all kinds of things about spiritual things we neglect our daily duty. But He is saying these two go hand in hand. We live each day as you pick up your task as a father and mother, as you pick up your task in the work from day to day. It is this truth that ought to accompany us, that ought to be present with us each moment, and I am with you. No matter what God's calling you to do, friend, to reach out to that person at work who's very difficult, to speak to someone in your family circle who doesn't know the Lord or is creating trouble or whatever thing that's facing you that seems a mountain you can't scale. God is saying to you this morning, but I am with you. I will give you words to speak. I will give you the humbleness of heart. No matter how difficult your way may become, whatever God permits to happen in your life, there's one certain unmistakable truth. Lo, I am with you. You know, in Pilgrim's Progress, there's Christian and hopeful, and they're coming near their journey's end, and they have to cross over the river, over death, as it were, and go to the other side, the Beulah, the heavenly glory. And perhaps you remember, they ask the shining ones who come and appear to them this question. Is the river all the same depth? And the answer of the shining ones is intriguing. He said, no, you shall find it deeper or shallower as you believe in the King of the place. And in many ways, that truth is applicable to this situation we are considering this morning. Our life and all the circumstances and all the trials will be as difficult or less difficult as we believe in the certainty of this promise. I am with you. The disciples didn't know how this was going to happen. They weren't talented speakers. They didn't have such beautiful sermons. But as they went and as they spoke and the word went forth, the Lord opened the hearts. And God is doing the same today. And I say again, the unbeliever in this world and those who don't know Christ do not have this comfort, this understanding to go before them. When a loved one is lost, they are confused, hurt, wondering. But if we know the Lord, whatever our circumstance may be, may this promise accompany us and go before us. May this embolden us so that we do not fear whatever circumstance will come upon our way. Then we do not, with weak hands that hang down and feeble knees, stop in our journey, but we look to Him and to this word of certain promise. Then as we face, as a nation even, and as we look around us, all the things that are taking place, we don't need to fear. This nation, every nation, every church, every believer, God is with them of a truth, of a certainty. And what a motive to holiness this is. As you and I enter into this week, each day, as you turn on the computer and you click here and you click there, as you open that novel when you get home, as you turn on the radio, as you listen to conversations, the Lord is there. The Lord is there. He'll be there tonight. We don't need to immerse ourselves in this world's attraction. We come together to gather together to hear His word and promise. There's a poem, I think, that in some ways reflects what I've been trying to say this morning. It's, you've heard it, perhaps, Footprints in the Sand. And I close with this. One night I dreamed I was walking along the beach with the Lord. Many scenes from my life flashed across the sky. In each scene, I noticed footprints in the sand. Sometimes there were two sets of footprints, other times there were one. This bothered me because I noticed that during the low periods of my life when I was suffering from anguish and sorrow and defeat, I could only see one set of footprints. So I said to the Lord, "You promised me, Lord, that if I followed you, you would walk with me always. But I've noticed that during the most trying periods of my life, that there's only been one set of footprints in the sand. Why, when I needed you most, you've not been there for me." And He whispered, "My precious child, I love you and will never leave you, never, ever, during your trials and testing. When you only saw one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you." Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious God, may this truth grip us. May we live this day and this week in light of it and in the comfort of it. May we lay hold upon it by faith and encourage one another with this word. And help us also to be kept from temptations and sin. In light of this word, that we would live holy before Thy presence. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.